My name's Charles Menzies. Hegel Hayetz Dewayu. Hegel Hayetz is my Kakatla name. Charles Menzies is my English name that most of my academic work is published under. And I'm a faculty member at the University of British Columbia in anthropology and a member of Kakatla Nation.
Okay, great. So we've spoken before, and every few months I'd like to scope you out online and see what you've been up to. And I was so pleased to see that you have a new film that you're very close to releasing, and it's Basketball Warriors. Could you tell me a little bit about the film, and also why did you want to make this film?
Let me start with the why. So I've made other films about the North Coast and Indigenous communities and people on BC's North Coast. And there's one particular book, Kakatla, that I used to show my first year anthropology courses. And it was a very serious film looking at the politics, Ryan Title, rights and title, all these issues. And one year when I was showing to a class, a young student said to one of the TAs, "How come Indians get so mad at white people?" And it just was such a shocking thing for this kid to say. And, you know, so it was an issue. So we looked at it and said, well, what's going on here? Because the film doesn't look, people aren't angry. And then you realize the speech language is very serious and very stern and very declarative. And you realize that these young kids who are taught in high school and life that youth is empowerment, youth has to step forward and speak, they were not able to see through these older, experienced, hereditary leaders talking and explaining things. And so I thought, well, how do I reach out to this particular audience? Because I want them to hear the same, see the same kind of issues, hear things, but I want something a little bit different. And I'd always loved basketball as a kid. I played it, paid attention to tournaments up north and things like that. And I figured, what about the All-Native Basketball Tournament? Let's look at basketball. Let's pay attention to that. A game where people are laughing, enjoying, is a kind of thing. Maybe this would be more relatable to my majority non-Indigenous students down at UBC. And so that's why we made this, making this film. And then the subject matter itself, the whole history of the All-Native Basketball Tournament. The role of basketball on the North Coast is such a phenomenal thing that it just, you know, there's so many, many, many films could be made on this one subject.
And so what draws you then to documentary filmmaking?
That aspect, that's kind of, I'm drawn to the filmmaking because it allows me to extend into another medium that people can watch. And beyond the kind of academic productions. I'm an academic. I've got to write classically academic papers. And, you know, we kind of always like to joke about how, you know, my paper's been read by everybody outside my family, like all two of them kind of thing. It's like, you know, how many people read our academic works. So I shouldn't be kind of so facetious about that. But, I mean, there's this idea that the academic world speaks to a very small community of people. And how do you reach beyond that? And film is a really powerful way of conveying impressions, senses, and the space. And so that's what drew me to it. And I will say, though, my first attempts at film were pretty bad. I thought I could just translate doing classic social science research into film. And let me tell you, there's nothing more boring than watching a taped interview of somebody go on for 30 minutes. Something that the younger students in my class could kind of latch on to and see a different issue. I mean, If you think about it, the structure in the film, the way we put it together, still embodies the same kind of idea. There's talk about Indigenous values, culture, work, and sort of even embedded in it quietly as notions of rights and title, but it's not really explicit. But it's done in a different kind of celebratory way, and so I hope it kind of works that way. And I'm planning to cut, this version is a 12-minute version. I'm planning to cut a longer piece that's a little bit more expository, as opposed to this one, which we follow more of a kind of journalistic feature length. Not feature is the wrong word, but, you know, kind of like a human interest piece you might get, you've got a slightly longer time frame. But it's not actually a full documentary, though it has the structure, you know, we've got the classic structure, beginning, middle, end, all that kind of stuff. And but hopefully it's more approachable in it, because as I say, basketball is so fun. And the tournament, the All-Native Basketball Tournament, has been in Rupert for 50 plus years now, almost, I think, 60, 65 years or so, since the early 1950s. And it's quite a big event. It draws hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people from all around, from as far north, south as Nia Bay up to Heidelberg, Alaska. People from the interior coming down from the Skeener area. And it's a big deal in town.
Yeah. And, you know, the film talks about this, the fabric. That's the term that's used that makes the All-Native Basketball Tournament happen. And it involves, it's multi-layered. It involves raising money, students doing well enough to participate, fans getting themselves to the finals, and then also making sure that there is an literally enough bandwidth to stream the games online because of the popularity about this. So what do you think is the secret to the tournament's success?
Oh, I mean, it just... pure plain fun. It's a social event. I think it mirrors in the historical past. Our communities have always come together in wintertime for celebrations and doing the work that needs to be done in terms of passing on names and acknowledging and finalizing things. There's a whole realm of that, and a lot of that work happens at the tournament as well. But it's a kind of modern day gathering of the nations. And people look forward to this. As you mentioned, people plan, communities are raising funds, laying out the logistics, practicing, training. It's a multi-layered, multi-textured blanket, if you think of it, woven together to make this thing happen. And one of my late great uncle, Russell Gamble, was really instrumental in this event and organizing it for many, many years. And then when he passed away, they named the auditorium after him in his honor. Family members, all sides of my family have played basketball in Rupert, you know, not professionally, of course. We're talking about recreational sort of fun leagues. But this is this is a level beyond fun. I mean, this is serious business too, in terms of the attention that people spend to it. But it's a major event. And it's one thing that in the First Nations communities across the coast and beyond that really allows people to feel unmitigating pride and accomplishment in who we are and what we can do and what we are doing. And that is a really powerful aspect of this festival.
A gentleman in the film mentions that the community comes together to celebrate that First Nations people are really good at basketball in the North, especially. And he said that it was something to claim when otherwise Indigenous peoples are often, they're ranking low in systems such as healthcare and employment statistics. And given that Indigenous people in Canada are outranked in disparity in areas such as income and housing, and even then stripped of the right to fundraise within their own community, and seeing this autonomy being stripped away, I found as well that this film and this tournament seems to almost represent a microcosm of a world that doesn't have that isn't abject disparity, and also it's not this like, oh, pity poor Indigenous people who aren't able to have the same access as white people to even things as clean drinking water. It's like there's just this absolute powerful celebration, and people are bringing food and art and even medicine to it as well. And how does this film, do you think, help perpetuate the good relationships and ways to support Indigenous autonomy, land right battles? What do you think that this teaches an audience?
I hope what it teaches people is that this is the demonstration of both resilience and autonomy and sovereignty all rolled into one package. And it's, of course, happening in this kind of fun background of a sport competition in the game. But what's really important with this is the way in which it demonstrates that people can actually do these things, and it's not fettered by the other kind of, you know, complaints that happen or the criticisms. And when the outside world looks at this, it's really an example of what we're doing all along. And very oftentimes people, you know, the news media often only focuses on pathologies and problems. And granted, there's enough of those. But what this shows is the strength, the power, the resilience, the cultural integrity of our communities. And that's, I think, the big take-home lesson. That's what local autonomy and self-governments would actually look like in terms of the long term. And I think that we need to be, people, the sort of wider society needs to step back and stop trying to control everything. And here's an example of how this is internally controlled.
Do you think that documentary filmmaking such as this and recording the voices of, and let's even just say, elders specifically, and this tradition of storytelling, do you think documentary filmmaking is the newest and maybe the best vehicle to perpetuate Indigenous storytelling and the keeping of history?
I definitely think this is one of the various technologies and modes, mediums of communication that exist out there. And I was thinking, on the one hand, it's not really a new technology. It's 100 and some odd years old. But in the space of our societies, our communities, the existence here, this is really new. You know, one century versus 10 to 12, 15 centuries or more is quite a big, there's a big gap, time gap and difference. But I mean, I think film allows for a type of storytelling in a different way. There's a whole range in some of the kind of multimodal forms of digital communication that allow even more nuanced and more textured approaches. But clearly, I think that, yes, indeed, I do think it allows for it. I don't think it replaces the actual, recounting of history and teaching that occurs within the feast system that occurs within traditional contexts. But it certainly is an adjunct to it that augments and allows people from further away to visit and to see and to understand.
Mm-hmm. So I know that there's been some issues with being able to release the film, especially due to COVID. So do you have a plan? Do you know when people will be able to watch this online more widely?
I'm hoping to get it out and ready and on the platform for the new year, so it can be ready for people to take a look at as people build up for this year's tournament in Rupert. Things last year were obviously with the pandemic disrupted and displaced, and hopefully this year we'll be able to get it up. I mean, it has been a long time making, but the other thing to keep in mind is academics work on different time cycles than, say, like commercial media and things like that. And I would have loved to have it out sooner, but I'm hoping January to get it out, if not sooner, for people. And I've had it on some limited circulation, but it's not, we haven't in a sense formally put it out there yet.
Okay. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Dr. Charles Menzies.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I always get a kick out of speaking back home and across the airwaves up there. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to have the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.